Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fulton Lewis, Jr., speaking from the studios of radio station WOL in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Apropos of the controversy about producing flying ships, flying boats in some of the new shipyards of the nation, and the production of giant cargo planes, there were several developments here today. Two high officials of the War Production Board and one official of the Army appeared before a special Senate investigating committee this afternoon. They testified behind closed doors because much of their testimony had to do with the available supplies of critical materials, which, of course, is a military secret. But when it was over, the chairman of that Senate committee, Senator Josh Lee of Oklahoma, said that he is confident that the conversion program is going to receive fair and objective consideration. The president was asked about it at his news conference this afternoon. He said that no one in the government disputes the desirability of having flying boxcars, as he says. He said the Army and the War Production Board have been moving heaven and earth to try to get as many of those flying boxcars as possible. But he said it's a question of balance between fighting planes and cargo ships and surface ships and a lot of other items in the war production program. If you can't have all that you want of all of those things, he said, you've got to decide which you need the most. Now, you know, of course, that the great personality in the center of this whole controversy, the person who proposed the building of these big cargo planes in the shipyards, is Mr. Henry J. Kaiser, who has set a most remarkable record for quantity production shipbuilding on the Pacific Coast. All sorts of challenges have been made to his proposal, reasons why it cannot be done, reasons why there should be no change in the present program of shipbuilding. And from time to time, in the last week or so, I've reported those developments to you as they have taken place. But in view of the tremendous nationwide interest in this whole question, I thought you might like for me to bring Mr. Kaiser here to the microphone tonight so that we can fire some direct questions at him, get some direct answers, instead of going through that same old routine of my giving you a second-hand account of what he says. So here he is, Mr. Henry J. Kaiser, and thanks for coming, sir.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mr. Lewis, and I'll try to answer such questions as I can. First, I'd like to say that I'm most gratified over the way I've been received in all quarters here in Washington. I've spent a great deal of time with the Army and the Navy officials, with the Maritime Commission, the War Production Board, and in congressional committees. Everywhere, there's a constructive interest in the subject of air cargo planes.
Now, you don't mean to imply that this is all just one happy family here in Washington.
No, naturally, there's a lively difference of opinion as to how the problem should be attacked. But there is an increasing indication of a general agreement that it must be done. That's most encouraging.
That, I think, is a tribute to you, probably, sir.
No, really. I think, Mr. Lewis, it would encourage the American people to see how problems of this kind are handled in Washington today. I found very little of this can't-be-done spirit here in Washington. The responsible public officials simply want to know how.
So you feel that your negotiations are coming along satisfactorily?
Real progress is being made.
All right, now, Mr. Kaiser, let's get on to brass tacks. You're proposing to use shipyards for the construction of giant cargo airplanes, ordinary shipyards. That certainly is a radical departure. There are many, many people in the government here who say that it would take years to make that change to actually get into production of those ships. They say that there's very little equipment in a shipyard today that would be useful in building planes.
Well, a shipyard is quite a proper place for the construction of airboats, Mr. Lewis. In the first place, the building of anything is simply synchronized movement of material. In a shipyard, we already have a great investment in equipment, housing, transportation, ferrying, and so forth. The biggest factor in anything is auditing and purchasing and accounting and management. And that's about 40% of the cost. The purchase of the outside material is another 35%, and we already have all the facilities.
The question is, however, whether you can build these cargo planes without robbing the rest of the plane construction program, actual fighting planes, of vital materials. The president made that point this afternoon, sir.
Well, and a very proper point it is, too. My only interest in this and in every other war project is to contribute something helpful to the war effort. There would be no contribution in a plan that interferes with the production of bombers and pursuit planes and guns and armaments and their transportation. But after all, we do have to get the men and the materials to the battlefront if they're to be useful. Submarines are sinking our ships faster than we can build them. Therefore, the air freighter is a necessary step towards solving this problem.
Yes, but what about those raw materials, the steel, the aluminum, and all that?
I'm confident. I'll be able to get whatever raw materials are necessary without robbing the present stockpiles.
You mean that you have sources entirely aside from the sources from which those raw materials are coming now?
I mean that this country has unbelievable resources that have never been tapped. I don't come to Washington with proposals for which I have no answer. If steel is the problem, we'll make the steel. If nickel is the problem, I'm confident we can obtain that. And there are the additional supplies of chrome. The metallurgical experts are capable of doing tremendous new things. As a matter of fact, every problem to this country is just a challenge to the brains and the courage of American producers.
The nation that wins wars is the nation that solves problems and not the nation that surrenders to problems. Is that it?
Exactly. Some newspaper writers who've seen our shipbuilding record on the Pacific Coast have called me a miracle man. I'm no miracle man. I'm simply a builder with supreme faith in the brains and the ability and the resources of Americans in America. I'm surrounded by young men who believe that no job can stop them, and there's no problem that can't be solved. And I take advantage of the counsel and the wisdom of our expert engineers. We all work, and we get results. In this proposal for building giant air freighters, I have the support of the best aeronautical minds in this country. They know it can be done.
The little matter of engines has been brought up, sir. Where would you get them?
Well, airplane engine production has already been increased 500% in the last 18 months. And a further small increase is no problem, according to the men who've done the job.
Well, they say that it took several years to start from scratch and build that new Martin flying boat to Mars. You've talked about using that as your first model. You say that you can get in production in 10 months. I think you told a congressional committee that. What about that now?
Well, after the original model is built, the long part of the work is done. We have templates and design sheets and all the interesting work completed. It's just a matter of duplicating that in quantity production.
Now, you've talked about a plane of 200 tons, sir. What would that be? Would that be on this same general design?
Whatever basic designs we have, and frankly, we do have them, I would expect to be approved by the government and the expert designers and the engineers of the aeronautic profession. This is not a job for Henry Kaiser alone. It's a job for all of us.
I only wish that you were working, sir, on the rubber picture as well. Is there anything else that you have in mind, Mr. Kaiser?
Yes. I'd like to say in closing that there is just one thought in my mind. We have got to win this war. To win, we've got to outthink, outwork, and outfight Hitler. We've taught Hitler everything he knows about airplanes. And now we've got to teach him that his submarines are not going to sink our supplies, going to the battlefront. Don't be startled when I talk of 100-ton or 200-ton or 500-ton air cargo planes. Don't let anyone tell you that this is a dream for the next war. It's a plain, everyday fact that things can be accomplished by American brains and initiative. The men who have designed and built our present magnificent planes say it is easy. America has the resources to produce the materials. Nothing can stop us, whether it's planes or potatoes that are needed to beat the Axis. And when it's done, it will not be a miracle, but just plain American hard work and courage.
Now, those are very inspiring words, Mr. Henry J. Kaiser, and thank you very much for being with us. Now, we're going to have to wait a long time getting back to the news before President Roosevelt can let us know what fate is in store for the Nazi saboteurs. The president, you know, is reviewing the verdict of the military commission that tried the 8 men, and he said at his press conference today that the papers are so bulky that it'll take him 2 or 3 days to go over them with his legal advisors. Then he'll make the announcement that the country is waiting to hear whether any or all of Hitler's agents will have to pay with their lives. The president thinks it's a good thing that the trial of these men took as long as it did. One of the correspondents questioned him on that point. He said that most of the press reaction he's seen has been favorable. Because this is a nation of law, legal processes take time, and the case of the Nazis has been carried out through the traditional processes of the law. The president said today in his news conference that it'll be several days more also before he actually vetoes the synthetic rubber bill, which Congress passed a week ago yesterday, the one that provides a new and separate agency to handle the production of synthetic rubber from alcohol. White House Secretary Stephen T. Early said yesterday that the president would send his veto to Congress this afternoon, and the general understanding has been that he will accompany that veto when he does send it with some sort of a statement or action of his own to clear up the mad scramble that has existed up to this time in the synthetic rubber administration. His close personal advisor, Judge Sam Rosenman of New York, has been gathering information material for the president for some days past on this synthetic rubber situation. He has seen virtually all of the government officials in any way connected with the rubber picture. I only hope that he is getting some information from outside sources, too, because if he's not, it's very much like asking the prisoner to serve as jury in his own case. In any event, that information, whatever it is to be turned over to the president for study in the next few days. The president will then take whatever action or make whatever statement is to be made. He left no doubt whatsoever today that he is going to veto the bill, however. That much is very clear. In the meantime, I learned this afternoon that one person in the whole government who has made the most constructive contribution toward a solution of this rubber situation for you, Mr. Wright Gary, who is in Mr. Harold Ickes' oil coordinator's office, is resigning from the government effective immediately. The excuse he gives is that he has done his job here. He wants to get back to private industry to do a war production job there. He is a gentleman who got the oil companies of the nation to pool their resources for the production of ordinary gasoline so as to be able to begin special butadiene production next January to the tune of 250,000 tons a year. And that's the top of the news as it looks from here, ladies and gentlemen. Until tomorrow evening, good night.
Mondays through Fridays at this time, from the studios of WOL in the nation's capital, bringing you the top of the news. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.